Hello, and welcome to the Dr. Nurse Mama Show, prescribing hope for healthy families here on American Family Radio. Here's your host, Professor, Pediatric Nurse Practitioner, and Mom of Four, Dr. Jessica Peck.
Well, hey there, friends, and welcome to my favorite part of the afternoon, getting to spend time with you, prescribing hope for healthy families. I hope wherever you are that you are safe and warm. We have had dramatically cold weather here in Texas, and everyone's been enjoying the snow and just what is a commonplace, I know, to some of you was a real novelty to us, and it was really special and really fun to get to have a snow day here in Texas. But wherever you are, I hope that you've joined us on our preborn campaign. American Family Radio is partnering with Preborn Networks of Clinic to provide ultrasounds for women. We are trying to provide 4,500 ultrasounds. We are very, very close to that goal. Just $28 provides one woman an ultrasound. You can call in at 877-616-2396. That's 877-616-2396, or go to afr.net. Help us reach our goal. And if you are not able to financially give, know that we covet your prayers. Pray for all of those mamas who are going in to get ultrasounds. Pray for their babies, pray for their families, pray for their lives, pray for their hearts, pray for their salvation. Just pray. Your prayers are extremely valued. And today, one thing that I am valuing is a new segment, a new feature, a new Worldview Wednesday is what we're going to call this. And throughout the year, we'll be having some Wednesdays where we go to visit the issue of worldview. Now, if you've heard before, Dr. George Barna and some of his associates who have been on the show, we've had some very candid conversations about the worldview crisis that is facing kids today. And I think that because everything is so movable, so changeable, so unpredictable, what is celebrated today is canceled tomorrow, and kids don't know where their foundation is. It is so important for us as parents to make sure that we are giving them a biblical worldview, a foundation that cannot be shaken. And so we're tackling that foundational question. What is a biblical worldview? Why does it matter so much? Well, simply put, we are defining a biblical worldview as seeing life through the lens of God's word, built on the authority, the inerrancy, the sufficiency of the Bible. But this is why it matters so much. The beliefs that our children develop, they don't just shape their decisions. They don't just shape their behavior. They determine their eternal destiny. And there's a battle being fought for the hearts and minds of young people, and the world is working against you to pull kids away from truth. So helping them develop a biblical worldview is about equipping them to trust the Bible, to trust God's word, to think about life with that biblical perspective, to live according to God's principles. And so we're going to explore why this is so important. And I have none other than Josh Mulvihill, the Executive Director of Church and Family Ministry at Renew a Nation, which exists to help children develop a biblical worldview. He served as a pastor for 18 years. He's got a PhD in family ministry from the Southern Baptist Theological Seminary. He serves as vice chairman on the board of Awana and is the author and editor of 10 books on parenting and grandparenting. So Dr. Mulvihill, Josh, thank you so much. Welcome to back to the show. We're so glad to have you back.
Yeah, it's great to be here and on a topic that is near and dear to my heart. I'm looking forward to this.
Me too. Well, let's talk about why it's so near and dear to your heart. Where does that desire, that passion come from?
Well, I got 5 kids of my own, and it's tough to raise kids in the world that we live in today as Christian parents, to see them, my greatest cry in my heart is to see my kids walk with Jesus all their day and to spend eternity with them in heaven. And it feels like so much is working against that. And so I'll take all the help I can get. And as, as we kind of think about this biblical worldview topic, I think this is the key that we have to get right with our own families. It starts there, and then with any other kids that God's given us the grace to have an influence in their life, and it extends out to them then.
Well, you wrote a book called Biblical Worldview, What It Is, Why It Matters, and How to Shape the Worldview of the next generation. And I agree. It's so refreshing to hear you share the story that I've heard from so many other authors and experts, because sometimes you think, oh, they're sharing this. They know it all. They've figured out all of the answers. And I think really the common denominator here, Josh, is that we found the courage to say, no, we will never find all of the answers, but we invite you into our journey and we'll share the hope and healing that we have found along the way. And so speaking about this book, who did you write this book for? Who is this concept for? You kind of hinted to it, but let's be really direct.
Yeah, I wrote it for parents first, grandparents second, really for the home, because scripturally, that's God's primary influence. That's God's design. And I feel like today there are a lot of family replacements. There are a lot of surrogates that have come in and kind of tried to convince us as parents that maybe we're not the experts. Maybe we are better off letting others kind of take the wheel and have the main voice and role. And you know, by no means do I want to discourage the other great influencers that, you know, and influences that can be had in our kids' lives, but you know, we got to be real serious about this as parents, and we have to be sure, you know, for us, it starts with, you know, where are we at with the Lord, and can we, you know, we can't pass on what we don't have. And so I just saw as a pastor, a lot of parents, they just struggle in this area. Some didn't grow up with a good example to, you know, to emulate. Some are just struggling in different areas. And so And as a pastor, what ended up happening with those in my church is I ended up having to fill this huge discipleship gap for a lot of kids. And, you know, I gave my whole heart and soul to doing everything I can with children. But at the end of the day, if it's not happening in the home, it's really difficult to make up that ground. And so the most strategic, the most impactful thing that I could have done as a pastor was to help those parents become more serious and more intentional in their home to get it right with their own kids. Just strategically, you know, I could give stuff to kids as a pastor. And it was impactful. I'd get an hour with a kid. I'd get an hour of impact. Find best set in a parent, and I can get a parent to say, you know, I'm gonna take this seriously and do it at home. That 1 hour with a parent can turn into 100 hours with that child, or 1,000 hours. So it's strategic in that regard. And it's God's, you know, God's given the stewardship to parents and then to grandparents. So this moves through God's created order in that way.
You know what, Josh, when you were talking, I feel like I just had an epiphany. You used a word that I haven't heard used in this context before, although I've talked about the general concept. You said surrogates. You said that there are influencers who are serving as surrogates for family. And I thought, that is exactly the word. That's exactly what's happening, because I've talked about how parents, for the first time in what I can see is modern recorded history, are replaceable. Kids are replacing parents. Mm-hmm. They're replacing that parent voice, that parent influence, you know, because before, parents, maybe they could hold the money. Well, all you have to do is just sell your stuff on social media. It's really easy. Ask somebody, where can I live? I don't like what you say, so I'm going to find this voice that says that. And so I just started looking at that and thinking about influencers, how they are so strategic, Josh. And we are up against that competition. I think it's really important for us to acknowledge that. So what are the strategies that influencers use? They do content creation. They're constantly thinking about what's high quality, engaging, authentic content. That is what our kids are looking for. They are looking for high quality, engaging, authentic content. And if we don't intentionally, strategically provide that for them, they're going to find it somewhere else. I'm looking at a little internet search. What are the strategies of influencers? Well, they want to engage their audience. They want to optimize their platform. They want to have partnerships and collaborations. They want to have a data-driven approach, use analytics to understand their audience preferences. And they're going to personally brand this. This is exactly what families should be doing in a strategy and creating a worldview, is thinking about What content are we giving our kids? How are we engaging them with meaningful relationships, fostering those meaningful relationships? And even as I'm looking at this, oh my gosh, Josh, I'm so convicted because it says foster meaningful relationships with followers by responding, showing authenticity, sharing personal relatable experiences. We're not doing this intentionally because as parents, I think we are living at the speed of a smartphone and we're maybe taking them to church, just like you said, and kind of hoping, hey, come alongside and give them all of that. I'm focused on putting a roof over their head, putting food on the table, getting them to school or soccer practice or whatever it is. So how does your book help families to pick up that role of being intentional in cultivating a biblical worldview?
Well, since we're touching on the influencer piece, I do think parents need to understand the role that God's given them, and grandparents, if they're listening, are number two in God's design, and we truly need to believe that. I do think the voices that we hear a lot of times make us think that our influence is lesser than it is, and our voice matters a little less than maybe the teacher, the coach, the pastor, the screens that our kids have, the peers that are in their life. We think, yeah, I'm just a parent, or I'm a grandparent. What can I do? And I think parents need to understand at their heart, there's nobody even that comes a close second to the role of a parent, which is why it's so devastating for a child when a parent's walk doesn't match their faith talk. And it is, which is why, you know, studies also show the impact of lifelong marriage on kids and their faith is huge versus marriages that struggle and break up. We can just the impact that it's had in the home on kids is so profound, and we have to understand that as parents and be serious about it. And it's not meant to put a bad weight on anybody's shoulders, but you know, really it's pretty simple. An authentic faith matters significantly to a kid's worldview development. And understanding that happens very young for most kids. It's, you know, before kids are basically by the time kids get to high school, the framework of their worldview is developed. And so it's early, it's home-based, and we have to understand that as parents. Where the peers and the screens and the other stuff come in, when the home falters and the kids are getting mixed messages about what's most important in life from a priority standpoint, that's when I feel like those other influences tend to come in and fill those gaps, because there's not clarity from parents towards kids that as far as values and views of life, and so that, you know, there's just dissonance there. And in that piece, research shows that one of the highest predictors of whether kids will walk in the faith that they are raised in is specifically related to the relationship the child has with the parent, and specifically the father. There's a 35-year longitudinal study done with dads and parents and kids and what equals long-term faith, and it specifically came back to relationships. If there's a warm, intimate, just a, you know, a heart-to-heart, a strong relationship, and if that specifically is with the dad, and so what that comes back to with us as parents is if there are issues relationally and we see red flags, we need to pay attention to that.
Well, I have so many more questions. You give 6 reasons why every family, church, and school needs to help children develop a biblical worldview, and we'll start to walk through those. That is so very important, and I can attest that you are absolutely right. There is nothing that takes precedence over the connection and between a parent and child in the context of a healthy relationship. There's nothing more influential, and we'll dive into that when we come back after this break with Dr. Josh Mulvihill. You've heard a lot about saving babies on this show. That's because it's important to me personally. And let me just be frank with you, we need to save them. That is why we partnered with Preborn, the nation's leader in introducing mothers with unplanned pregnancies to their babies. And once she hears that heartbeat and sees that precious life growing inside of her, she is twice as likely to choose life. Now that is a miracle. But quite honestly, if we don't save them, who will? Preborn receives no government funding, so their work is completely dependent on us. Preborn has rescued over 280,000 babies, and that's not all. They provide love, support, and counseling for up to 2 years for free, saving lives and souls. One ultrasound is just $28, or 140 helps to rescue 5 babies. Abortion doesn't stop, so we can't. Together, you and I can save lives. Just call #250 on your cell and say the keyword baby. That's 250 baby, or go to preborn.com. That's preborn.com.
When you've cried and you've cried till your tears run dry, the answer won't come and you don't know why, and you wonder if you can bow your head even one more time. Don't stop praying. Don't stop calling on Jesus' name. Keep on pounding on heaven's door. Let your knees wear out the floor. Don't stop believing, 'cause mountains move with just a little faith, and your Father's heard every single word you're saying. So don't.
Welcome back, friends. That's Don't Stop Praying by Matthew West. And listen, wherever you are, whatever life stage, age, family, situation that you have going on, whatever it is that you are praying about, don't stop praying about it. God hears, God listens, He sees you, He knows you, He loves you, and He cares, and He will answer in His time for your good and for His glory. And we're giving you some answers today on what we're calling Worldview Wednesday. We are talking about the absolute importance of giving our kids a biblical worldview that will help them stand the trials, the tragedies, the traumas that are sure to come their way. We've talked already in the show about a lot of kids facing the trial that it comes with divorce, but there are a lot of other things, a lot of other difficult things that kids face. And Dr. Mulvihill and I have been talking about the fact that parents are the number one influence in their kids' life. Now, there are other forces at work that would tell you that's not true, that they're listening to social media more. They can't get their face out of their phone. They could care less what you think. They only care what their friends think. But research is clear. In the context of a healthy relationship, meaningful connection to an adult, and especially an adult that has a grounded worldview that is not going to shake, that is going to stand the test of time, that is a way to cultivate resilience in our kids. We know that in this world, we will have trouble, but we can take heart because God has already overcome the world. So whether you're a parent, a grandparent, a teacher, a coach, a church leader, developing a biblical worldview is a call to action. We have just talked about how influencers are actively strategizing and planning how to influence your kids. And even if they're not directly influencing them, you think, oh, that's why my kid's off social media. Well, they have friends who are on social media who see this influence. Unless they're living under a rock somewhere, there is influence that's happening. And we need to be strategic as parents. So we're talking about Dr. Mulvihill's book, Biblical Worldview, what it is, why it matters, and how to shape the worldview of the next generation. And we're inviting you to join us in that journey. This book is filled with tools and ideas to help children grow in lifelong faith, to live for Jesus, to serve Him with purpose. It's not just about teaching them what to believe. It's about equipping them to navigate life with a gospel-centered perspective. And when kids embrace these truths, They're not only transformed, but they are positioned to transform the world around them. And so we are unpacking today how to make this vision a reality in your family and your ministry, whatever people that God has gifted you with to steward as your family. And Josh, you believe that there are six reasons why every family, church, and school, we talked about that a lot on the last show that you were on about the intersection of school here, but why they need why we need to help children develop a biblical worldview. And that first one is to provide wisdom for life. Why? This seems so simple, and yet we're not doing it intentionally. So what's the importance of it? Okay. All right. We're going to get him back. But in the meantime, when you have a parenting problem, where do you look for answers? I will tell you that research shows most of us go to Google. That is our first thing. We go to an internet search engine and we think whatever the problem is, if it's a stain that won't come out on the bathroom counter, or if it's should my child see a counselor. So often we go to internet search engines that don't know us at all. And yet less than 20% of people will go to a trusted friend with a problem. There's so much pressure to look perfect. And when we look at social media, sometimes we're more afraid of how people will perceive us than we're actually dealing with our problems. So it's really important to say that, hey, we don't know everything. When things get hard, when things are good, we go to God's word for guidance. When you want to learn how to grandparent, where are you going for that? When you're teaching methods, where do you look for ideas? When you have a decision to make, where are you turning for wisdom? And the Bible really does provide everything that we need for our salvation, for our growth as Christians, for obedience to God's command, and just advice for daily godly living. That is really important to do. And one of our habits that we are working on this year in 52 Habits for Healthy Families, habit number one was prayer. Habit number two is memorizing scripture, memorizing God's word. I can go to my kids with some advice that I have. You know, I can tell them, oh, don't be afraid. But if I can say, God has commanded you to be strong and courageous, do not be afraid, do not be terrified, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. That is a biblical worldview rather than, okay, let me learn some calming techniques to not be afraid. Now, those are great supplements, but they don't substitute a biblical worldview. So Josh, talk about providing wisdom for life in one of these six core reasons why we need to be intentional about developing a worldview.
So everyone has decisions that they make in life, whether they're mundane or major decisions. And at that point, we all have to make a call. Where do I look for my guidance? And as Christians, we want that to be God's word. And we think to ourselves, well, I know God's word. I use God's word. The problem is that's not the case for a lot of us. In fact, just on the topic of parenting, if we say, where do I get my parenting guidance? Lifeway did a study with 2,000 parents, and only 14% of parents said, I know what the Bible says on parenting, and I use it as my primary guidance for my parenting decisions. These are Christian parents. What the study found was that most people look to their own experience or the experience of those that they're closest to for guidance. And so this comes out with our kids anytime. My oldest is a sophomore in college, and he's got a girlfriend, and they're getting serious. So how did he make the decision on who to date? And moving forward, the marriage decisions that they may be having, those kinds of things, we need to train our kids to look to God's word. And on every single subject matter, the Bible teaches that it is the big theology word is sufficient. It is sufficient for all of life, meaning whatever we need for life, for godliness, for faith, God's word claims that it is sufficient to provide that for us. The problem is a lot of us don't actually know how to utilize the Bible for some of these major life issues and decisions. And I'll just throw out another example. If you were listening to the last segment, I talked about grandparents as a major influence in the life of kids. What is the role of a grandparent? What does the Bible say about grandparenting? Just on a simple subject like that, most people don't have great clarity. I'll throw out another one. We have all kinds of justice terms floating around our society, reproductive justice, environmental justice. Are those things biblical? How do we administer justice as a parent in our own home, as a leader in a organization, as a government official? And what does that even mean and look like? If we don't have clarity on some of these critical issues scripturally, we can't apply it to life itself. And so this is where our kids have to know God's word, and we do too as parents, in order to, when we have these decisions to make, that we just have the biblical understanding in order to do that. That's a first critical reason why biblical worldview is needed.
That's really convicting. And that means that we can't just drop our kids off at church and hope, okay, you teach them everything, because we have to learn. We have to be the primary instructor of that. And we talked about that last week in our habit number 3, Josh, which was getting plugged into a local church and looking for a church that will partner with you in that, but not do it for you, because it's not designed that way. And you said something really important, because I think you're right. The cultural current right now tells kids to do everything based on your feelings. So some of the other messages I was thinking about as you were talking were live your truth, trust your gut, you do you, or follow your heart. But if we look at a biblical worldview, we see a message like as simple as follow your heart. It just seems so sweet and so innocent. But Jeremiah tells us the heart is deceitful above all things and beyond cure. Who can understand it? And so looking at that, it is so important. And so that's you talk about these 6 reasons. And the first one is to provide wisdom for life. The second one is to develop the foundation for lifelong faith in Jesus. You've already talked about, Josh, the importance of developing their biblical worldview early, because by the time they get to their late teens, it's pretty set. And that doesn't mean that it can't change, that God can't work in that, but it's definitely more challenging. And so how do we develop a biblical worldview that will stay with them through that transition into adulthood where their faith becomes their own?
I love what Paul says to Timothy. It's 2 Timothy 3:14-15. He says to him, Timothy, continue in what you have learned and have firmly believed, knowing from whom you learned it and how from child you have been acquainted with the sacred writings. So how from childhood? I mean, it's early childhood. You've been acquainted with the sacred writings. This is what leads to lifelong faith. Lies know no age, so we should not wait to teach our kids God's truth. Of course, kids that are, preschool age, early grade school aged, we can talk about God's truth in more general ways, but every child, whether they're 5 or 15, they need to know what marriage is. And we can have that conversation in a pretty simplistic way that still communicates a deep truth. One man, one woman for life. There's an easy biblical definition. You mentioned some hardcore worldview claims that are not innocuous. You'll follow your heart. Love is love. We could list a whole bunch of these that are these phrases our kids are hearing. My kids are seeing 1,000 rainbow flags everywhere they go now. And so teaching them God's truth from their early days, God's word, not somebody else's thoughts about God's word. We actually, we want to open up the Bible. I'm putting air quotes, but that's our curriculum with our kids, is we open up God's word and we start reading it with them. It doesn't need to be long. It doesn't have to be, it might be, if that's not a regular occurrence in our home, there's a period where we get used to it. For our, when our kids were little, we would do that usually towards the end of dinner. I felt like food is a great distractant for kids. They still pay attention while they got something in their mouth and their hands. And, you know, 5 minutes, 10 minutes, pretty short. We're reading through the Bible. We did that with our kids using two resources called The Long Story Short and The Old Story New. They literally are basically a Bible reading plan with some discussion questions, three or four on each little short chunk of scripture you read. And we would just slowly and methodically read through the Bible with our kids. And after a number of years, we had actually, you know, it's like, wow, we've actually read through the Old Testament with our kids, that just through these little chunks and having conversations. As our kids have gotten older now, we're actually studying books of the Bible. We do one chapter at a time. And we do this with another set of fathers and mothers. So like tonight, I'm getting together with a group of dads and sons, and we're studying through John chapter 11 and 12. They did a little Bible study on their own through that, and then we come together and discuss it. And we do, you know, one or two books a year. And so we'll have studied through about a half a dozen books over the last couple of years, verse by verse. And I'll tell you what, it's been really good. We've strategically chosen books of the Bible that deal with some subject matters that we think, man, our boys need to know this stuff, or our daughters need to know this stuff that they're dealing with here and in culture. And the Bible, the sufficiency of Scripture, they address that. There is nothing new under the sun. So even though we feel like as parents or grandparents, like, man, it's this day and age we're living in is crazy, and I don't argue against that, but, you know, all the lies that our kids are hearing today, they're the same old lies. They're repackaged in a different way for our current age. And the truth that God has is addressed in the Bible. And we, as we read that and get our kids in that, the Spirit of God works through the Word of God to transform hearts. And so we got to get our kids in the Bible, and that creates a strong foundation for their whole life at that point.
You know, I quote that scripture a lot. There is nothing new under the sun, because so often parents are so afraid by all of the things that it seems like are new. And yes, there are new modalities that will trip up our kids, that will tempt them, that will hurt them, that are dangerous to them. But all of the heart issues, all of the sin issues under all of those are all the same. And that is reassuring, Josh, to me as a parent, because I think there is nothing that God hasn't foreseen, that He hasn't equipped us to deal with. So yes, we may have a new cultural context, but the heart issue remains the same. And like I said, the heart is deceitful above all things, but there is hope. And that is the hope that we're going to find. We'll talk more about that hope on the other side of this break.
We live in a day when America's families are under attack like never before.
Buddy Smith, Senior Vice President of the American Family Association.
The war against biblical principles rages on numerous fronts. The internet, Hollywood, Washington, D.C., America's corporate boardrooms, and the list goes on. At American Family Association, we're committed to standing against the enemies of God, the enemies of your family. And we recognize it's an impossible task without God's favor and your partnership. Thank you for being faithful to pray for this ministry, to give financially, and to respond to our calls for activism. What you do on the home front is crucial to what we do on the battlefront. We praise God for your faithfulness, and may He give us many victories in the battles ahead as we work together to restore our nation's biblical foundations.
My healer, He has won the victory.
Welcome back, friends. That song is Jesus is My Healer by Jesse Harris, featuring Gateway Worship. And Jesus is our healer. No matter where you are in your age or family stage, you may be thinking, you know what? I've done a lot of things wrong. I have really messed things up. I wish that I had done things differently. My kids are older. All these things you're talking about, like that ship has sailed. But let me tell you, it is never too late for new beginnings with God. He is a God who loves to redeem, to restore, to renew, to make beauty from ashes. So no matter where you are, no matter how old your kids are, no matter what life stage you're in, no matter what your family looks like, it is never too late to give your family to the Lord. And we're talking about one of the most important things that you can do for your family, and that's be intentional about cultivating and nurturing a biblical worldview. That's our prescription for hope today, is helping you be encouraged to nurture a biblical worldview. It sounds so simple, and we know that most families would say, oh yeah, I want to do that. But the convicting truth is that most of us are not doing that. Most of us are not doing it intentionally. We're just kind of putting forth our best effort and hoping that everything will turn out okay. And with the forces of the world at work against you and seeking your children's attention and their affection, it's so important for us to be intentional. I'm talking today to Josh Mulvihill, the Executive Director of Church and Family Ministry at Renew a Nation. And we're talking about his book, Biblical Worldview, what it is, why it matters, and how to shape the worldview of the next generation on what we're calling Worldview Wednesday. This is something we're going to revisit often this year as we hope to equip you, to encourage you, and to empower you to nurture a biblical worldview. That is a way to find hope in a world that seems hopeless. Now, Josh and I have barely scratched the surface on this, so don't feel discouraged. We're going to end with some practical advice for you. And keep on listening, because as we go through 52 Habits for Healthy Families, so many of these habits are tied to nurturing that biblical worldview. It's not about perfection, it's about progress. And if you put your intent there, then God will bring the harvest on that. He who began a good work in you will be faithful to complete it. And that's the truth we need to give to our kids. So Josh, we only got through two of the six reasons, and so we'll see how far we can get, but this is so important. I want to make sure that we are leaving space and time for this. We've talked about, why should you do this? Well, to provide wisdom for life and to develop the foundation for a lifelong faith. But it's also to shape their character and conduct by truth. So how does that happen?
Well, we're going to get through all six here, so I'm going to answer more succinctly.
Great.
God's word, you know, I don't know if you've noticed in our culture as we look around, I feel like our culture tries to make sin look really attractive and righteousness look really strange to not only to us, but to our kids. And so our kids need this baseline, this plumb line from God's word about morality and what is good and right and beautiful, because they're going to probably get the exact opposite message as they're looking out in our world. And then we live that out by example. And I love what God's word says. If you've ever opened it up, and you could do this in a concordance, it's a kind of a fun little study, but if you ever look up the words teach with in connection to children, father, mother, it's amazing how many times the Bible tells us to teach these things, teach God's law as parents. And this is really, you know, maybe you've heard the phrase, faith is caught, not taught. And that's kind of half true. Faith is caught, mm-hmm. but it is scripturally, it's a both and. It's caught and it's taught. And so, you know, how we're living out morality for in front of our kids, the decisions we make, man, that matters significantly. But also there needs to be an intentionality to be teaching God's truth in all these areas, so that our kids have this picture and it shapes who they are in this world that is, it seems to, the moral code our kids are getting in our culture is not the one that we probably want them to have.
Well, you know, you made me think of something like sexting, which has become very normalized in teenage cultures. They don't think, should I, but when should I, how should I? And when you look at the messages, just like you were talking about that juxtaposition and speaking in reality, that's what I see kids facing. When they do it, they get messages from their peers like, wow, you're brave, you're beautiful. And then they get messages from the adults that say, oh, you're dumb, you're nasty. You know, I mean, these kind, I know that sounds so harsh, but this is the world that our kids are navigating, and it is so hard. And we need to have that biblical truth to ground them to, because I think about, you know, the biblical view, thinking of scriptures like, don't arouse or awaken love until it so desires, and about the goodness of self-control and, you know, the virtues of that and things like that. And talking about those, how we do that is so important. And Josh, what do you think are the biggest barriers today that are keeping families from intentionally nurturing a biblical worldview? Because as we both said, so many families want to do it. Their heart is there. Their intent is there. But it's just so hard to follow through on the actions. What are the barriers that the families are facing, and how can they overcome those?
I bet my answer is going to surprise you. I think for a lot of parents, what I see is it's the wrong love. So you think of Deuteronomy 6, and it talks about teach these things diligently, impress them on your children, you know, talk about them in your home. The chunk before that actually is the part that matters as much or more. And it the first thing that God says to us as parents is, love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your strength. So it actually, I think worldview development for our kids actually starts in our own hearts as parents, that we often have the wrong love, or we have a divided love, and we won't raise devoted children with that. And so you see this, I saw this played out as a pastor all the time with families in their scheduling. You know, I live in Minnesota, and in the summer months, you know, families would disappear up to the cabin for big chunks of time. What does that say to a child when something is prioritized over Sunday morning? Or this is a convicting one for all of us parents. We're sitting in a worship service and checking our phone for sports scores or texting people or on the internet.
Ouch.
Just that, you know, and this is one I have to be, you know, I have to be mindful of these things too. What does that say to my kids when they look over at me and I'm more interested on what's on my phone than what's being preached from the pulpit? And it could be, you know, whether it's how we're spending our time, how we're spending our money. You know, if our kids don't see us burning for Christ, they don't smell the aroma, if it's not a Christ-centered kind of living, our kids see really quickly through that, and our kids tend to gravitate towards what we're passionate about as parents. And so we have to get our love right. That's the first thing. And so that's a good check for us as parents. What is it that we love most? And if you really want to do something kind of brave or crazy, I don't know to put which category we would put this in, but ask your kids, what do you think I love the most in life? And that would be a really interesting answer. See, if they said Jesus, great. If it's something else, wow, you know, then. But our kids they've answered that question for themselves without us asking it. We have communicated something with our passions and prayers, so we got to get that first. We got to get that right. And guess what happens? If we love Jesus with all of our heart, we naturally want to help our kids love Jesus with all their heart. And so it's pretty easy to help a parent who loves Jesus with all their heart want to get it right with their kids. It's the parents that love Jesus with some of their hearts that makes it really challenging. And so that's the key right now, is we got to get that right.
That is so convicting. We cannot teach what we do not know. We can't teach what we don't practice. And you know, Josh, I think too, in this day and age of social media, and we see perfect families, there's a lot of pressure on parents to really manipulate sometimes, if we're really honest, our kids' behavior, because we want that immediate feedback loop that we're doing a good job as a parent. So if our kids show spiritual discipline, sometimes we just take that as, okay, good, then we're doing our job, rather than really looking to the heart of things. And it has to be authentic. And so if you're thinking, okay, I don't know if my kids have a biblical worldview, that couldn't be any better advice than what you just gave, Josh. It's not about, okay, well, let me focus on my kids. It's let me focus on my own biblical worldview. And as I'm developing that and sharing that journey, kids are going to see that. And I think it is very brave and very hard to ask your kids those kinds of questions. And they might tell you, oh, we know you love your family most. You know, like, that's what I'm supposed to say. But if you push them, they can tell you the other things you love in your life. And I always say that the measure of accountability there is look at your credit card, look at your calendar, where you're spending your time and your money. That's where your priorities are. You mentioned a couple of other things, Josh, that I thought were really important. One was when you're traveling, communicating that priority. And I've shared before that one thing we did with our family is we made it a priority to go to church wherever we were. We would teach our kids how to find a church with a biblical worldview and experience what it was like to be visitors. And we've had some really amazing opportunities, but I didn't even realize, Josh, at the time, that we were teaching our kids, you can go anywhere and find fellowship with a community of believers. Like, anywhere you go in the world, you will find people who love God and who are seeking to serve Him. So I think that is really convicting, but a really good practice to have, just a one way to show that it means something to you. And the second thing was your phone in church, because my husband and I had this conversation, and I told him I didn't like that he was on his phone in church, because when you look over, it's that same visual cue as if he's looking at sports scores at home. And maybe he had his Bible app open, or maybe he didn't. But he, you know, he and I had a talk about it, and he was like, this is ridiculous. You know, there's nothing wrong with the Bible app. And I said, I know. But after he thought about it and looked around, he thought, no, I want my kids to have that different image. I want them to know this was my Bible, not have to ask. I want them to have that core memory that's there. So those are just some of the things I was thinking as you were talking, but we could talk about this forever, and we kind of sort of will. But Josh, before we leave all of our listeners, I know we've made a case for that, hopefully, that this is important. If you haven't put intentional effort towards this, if you haven't developed a strategy, you need to. But Josh, there's going to be parents out there who are feeling like, I'm overwhelmed. I don't know where to start. Can you offer them some help and hope?
Sure. I think what I just mentioned, love the Lord your God, that's a great place to start. Get your heart, your own self at a place where you're walking with the Lord well. And then the second piece of that is, if there's not some of those practices happening in your home, the kind of the family worship, family devotion stuff, that's a great place to start it with your children. And maybe you need to call a family meeting together and say, hey, we're gonna read God's word. It might be a little awkward at first, that's okay, and push through as a parent the awkwardness. It'll get to a place of regularity and comfort. And if there is if there's an emotional distance or a coldness with any of your kids, I would say that's another place that you could say, this is, you know, kids that don't have a strong relationship with the parent, don't respect our God. They're not going to respect our God. And so we want to work on building a strong relationship with each child and each individually, not as a collective group. So those are three very practical things that can be done. Where's our love for the Lord? Some practices in the home, reading God's word, and just relational strength with each child. And if those, you know, if those are, you know, in a good place in your life, then, thank the Lord, you're in the minority and God's been very gracious in your life and in your family. And, make sure praying vigorously for each of our children. As you said, Jessica, you know, the world is, it's not an easy world to raise our kids, and we need God's work in their heart. So that would be the last one, is bringing them before the Lord in prayer.
Absolutely. Prayer is the foundation of everything. Well, we're talking to Dr. Josh Mulvihill. His book is Biblical Worldview, What It Is, Why It Matters, and How to Shape the Worldview of the Next Generation. We'll be walking through this year as we have a regular Worldview Wednesday, because I believe that parents really need to heed this call to be intentional and strategic about developing a worldview. If you want help and hope in that, just listen in every day right here to the Dr. Nurse Mama Show at 2 o'clock. We are going through 52 Habits for Healthy Families. You can find those on the Dr. Nurse Mama Coaching Minutes. And right now we're at prayer, memorizing scripture, going to church, and this week we're talking about worship music. Those are all things that can influence and encourage and equip you to develop a biblical worldview. May the Lord bless you and keep you and make His face shine upon you. And I'll see you right here tomorrow with Decluttering Diaries.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.